We'll field this rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is the Rain Report. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. For 24 hours on the fourth weekend of June, hundreds of stateside radio clubs and more than 35,000 ham operators celebrate Field Day. In this Field Day 101 series, we've covered various aspects of this amazing weekend. In this fourth and final excerpt from the ARRL Field Day Forum held at the 2011 Dayton Hamvention, we'll hear from Mike Corey, KI1U, Emergency Preparedness Manager for the ARRL, and co-author with Victor Morris, AH6WX, of the ARRL book, Storm Spotting and Amateur Radio.
I want to first share a little background before I get into Tuscaloosa and a few other stories. I've been an amateur radio operator for 23 years this year. Came from a family of ham radio operators, so not much of a choice for me. I was going to get licensed one way or another. Third generation amateur radio operator. My very first contact was on 10 meters at the height of the solar cycle, and my very first QSO was with J73LC in Dominica. I was bit by the DX bug like that. About 3 years later, I got my technician license, heard about a Aries/Racy's group in town, signed up, and started getting involved with public service and emergency communications. The first event I really recall working was an ice storm that hit central Indiana in 1991. 16 years old at the time, spent 33 hours operating the radio in an EOC. And for some odd reason, that did not poison me on emergency communications. I don't know why. Ended up going into law enforcement, and the rest, as they say, is history. I've been going to field days for as long as I can remember, even before I was licensed. And then since I've been licensed, every year, without fail. Field day is everything that everybody else that has come up here has described it as. It is also a great way to test our emergency communication skills. But I want to ask you something. What makes an amateur radio operator a good emergency communications person? Is it our license? No. Because if we went with that theory, your driver's license qualifies you as an IndyCar racer. And I don't see any of us, we're obviously all here and not at the track right now, so that can't be the case. Is it all the gear that we bring out? Our go kits and the vests and belts and hats and everything else that we bring? Nope. That does not make us a good emergency communicator. Is it the training? All the FEMA certificates that you can get and everything you can hang on the wall? No. It helps, but that's not what makes us good emergency communicators. It is our overall experience as amateur radio operators. It is our understanding of the technical aspects, antennas, propagation, operating skills, rules and regulation. Stop me if this sounds a lot like a technician exam kind of breakdown. It's what we were tested on to get our license. That's what makes us good emergency communicators. Field day is a good chance where we get to exercise all of this and some. I know there are folks that the driving force on why they got their amateur radio license was emergency communications, and I met some that when you say the words emergency communications, their eyes roll and they turn away and start cussing at you. Regardless of your interest in amateur radio, field day helps prepare you for operating under unusual or adverse conditions. And what really brought this to mind was field day probably about 15 or 16 years ago, operating with a group in Frankfort, Indiana. Field day site was out at a county park, far away from the city limits, kind of isolated area. Around midnight, rain started. Not too long after that, anybody that's from the Midwest knows that eerie silence that goes with an approaching tornado. Sure enough, one was coming within a mile of the field day site. There weren't too many places to take cover out there, but everybody started running for the one RV that was parked nearby. It was about the only thing that even offered the remotest amount of shelter. And I can remember everybody packed in that RV and, of course, somebody bringing up the idea that if the tornado hits, at least we'll all be found together. Standing there watching out the window as the tent that I had set up, which was kind of my sleeping area for the night, went rolling by with the wind, and away it went. Never seen that tent again. But there are times where the emergency is going to come to you. And whether you like emergency communications or not, you are going to have to be prepared. You know, Dan mentioned Tuscaloosa. You know, and when I went down to Tuscaloosa a few weeks ago and I started talking with folks, one question I asked them, I said, who turned out to help? Who do you have out here? And the answer was everybody. Call signs that we haven't even heard on the air in years are out here to help. Some of these folks lost everything. Some were in the area when it got hit, and some were just neighbors helping their community. Disasters have no concept of DXCC. They don't care if you've built a K2 from the ground up. They don't care if you've got worked all states on satellite bands. They're going to show up and they can affect you. And field day is a great way to get ready for emergencies, whether you want to be involved with a formal group or not. And here are a few of the ways that you can take a look at field day as a preparedness activity. First off, and this is the one thing that I always try to harp on the most, is, as it was mentioned earlier, this is where we can shine. And one of those areas is our image. How do we come across to the public? There are two major ways that the public has a perception of amateur radio. One is field day, and the other is the public service emergency communication side. This is the chance to put on a great positive image on what amateur radio is, show that we are competent at what we do, we know what we do, we've got the expertise to back it up, and that we're ready to help if called on. It's probably the single event of the year that is the greatest skill development weekend you can think of. As you attend the forums around Dayton, you're going to learn a lot from these forums, but it's just a small percentage of what you're going to learn from a really good field day. But the challenge to learning from field day is to challenge yourself, to go out there wanting to learn something new, try a new mode. When I first started getting really active with field day planning and operating, I hated CW with a passion. I did not want to learn it, and of course it was at the peak of the solar cycle, so I thought, I'm a novice, I got 10 meter privileges, what do I need CW for? And then of course we know what happened to the solar cycle, and I realized that the signal wasn't even going to leave the backyard, let alone working DX again. So I went out to field day, and after a little practice with my Elmer on learning CW, I made it my goal. I'm going into the CW tent, and that's the only place I'm going to operate from the entire weekend. And I walked in at 5 words per minute and walked out at 15 words per minute. It forces you to learn, and that's the great thing about amateur radio. It almost demands us to improve. You can't really just get settled in with, here's my comfort zone, that's as high as I'm going. It demands us to keep improving our skills.
You're listening to the last installment of the RAIN series Field Day 101. This week featuring Mike Corey, KI1U, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager and co-author with Victor Morris, AH6WX, of the ARRL book Storm Spotting and Amateur Radio. We'll conclude Mike's talk and the series in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, available on Twitter, twitter.com/TheRAINReport.
Try other modes, digital modes. There are so many digital modes that are very easy to get on the air with sound card software available. There are so many digital modes you can try on field day. VHF and UHF operating. QRP, it's a great chance to play around with QRP. And if you think you can't work something with 5 watts, try it on field day. You'll have a blast with it. It is very easy and very fun to do. It teaches us about emergency power. You know, we know hook up the generator, make everything run, but you all of a sudden realize you're going to learn a lot about it at 1 in the morning when you hear that generator kind of start sputtering out, and you realize it's got a tank of gas, but I need to figure out what's wrong with it. The other thing, and as David brought up, relationship building. But I want you to think beyond the served agency. Think about those that you wouldn't consider the served agency or the normal, I'm going to invite them out to field day. Think about the National Weather Service. We work with them through Skywarn pretty regularly. Extend an invitation to them. They do outreach all the time. Think about the media. Great way to showcase our skills and what we do is by inviting the press to come out and also talk about the service we provide our community. And something you can do as just a fun operating activity. I've tried this a few years in organizing field days. It's not a contest, but it can be a friendly competition. One of the relationships that you really need to develop is with the neighboring clubs, the neighboring field day sites. Make a little friendly challenge with them. See who can score the most points. Build that relationship as well. In an emergency, in Tuscaloosa, for example, was it the Tuscaloosa club that was the only one out there helping out? No, it was guys from Birmingham, folks that came over from Columbus, Mississippi. This is a very fraternal hobby where we're willing to help each other out, regardless of where we're at. Build that relationship during field day. Another area for preparedness that field day offers is logistics. Dan mentioned who the most important person at field day is. It's the cook. If you've ever been in an EOC or worked in a disaster area or in an emergency, you know that the logistics for doing that is through the roof. Same for field day. It teaches you about planning for power, for food, sheltering, building the relationships, working as a team, working with others, improving your own skills. It's got a high level of logistics to field day as well as emergency planning. If I were going to say take something with you from this, is don't let this stop with field day. When I was an emergency coordinator in Mississippi, after every field day, once everybody got rested up, the same comment was always made. I can't wait for next year. I wish field day would come sooner. It can. Think how many contests there are throughout the year, and there is nothing in the rules that say you can't set up field day style for a contest. Does it say you have to win the contest? No. Does it say you can't have fun getting on the air and operating? No. And you can take all these lessons that you learned at field day and try them out throughout the year and keep improving skills, keep building relationships, and keep having fun with it. I want to tell a story that I think, in all my years of working field day, best sums up what field day is all about. The first year I was in Mississippi and organized a field day activity for a local club, it was a club that had not had a field day in 25 years. Me and a couple of the other guys got online, found all the licensed hams in the zip code, and sent them all an invitation, handwritten personal invitation. Come on out, we're having field day. There were 60 licensed amateur radio operators in that county, and about 40% of them showed up, which we thought was pretty good. But there was one guy that showed up, Alan. Alan was a retired line technician for Bell South. At the time, he was well into his 80s and had been off the air for several years because he couldn't put an antenna up at his house. Despite having climbed poles for an entire career, his health prevented him from putting an antenna up. But he heard we were having field day, and he came out. And we made sure the first person we put on the air was Alan because we knew he had been off the air for a while. And I've got this picture, and I wish I would have thought of putting this in a slide. But the smile on his face when he made that contact, it summed up what everybody has said about field day. It is fun, it is cool, it is interesting, it is an experience all to itself. I hope everybody is on for field day. I hope you have a great and safe field day and learn from it.
And that concludes this final excerpt from the ARRL Field Day Forum held at the 2011 Dayton Hamvention. This week we featured Mike Corey, KI1U, Emergency Preparedness Manager for the ARRL, and author, along with Victor Morris, AH6WX, of the ARRL book Storm Spotting and Amateur Radio. We hope you will be participating in a local field day activity the fourth weekend of June. It's time to begin planning for this year's event. If you haven't already, we suggest you go to therainreport.com and listen to the first three Field Day 101 programs. Then you'll want to go to the ARRL website for the rules and regs governing this year's event. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for all those connected with The Rain Report, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.